Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com/AAA to save 20% off your order. And by WordPress, plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off your brand new website today by visiting wordpress.com/allaboutandroid. Welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 347, recorded on Tuesday, December 12th, 2017. We're your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Yeah.
Behind that was the best intro yet. Good job, Victor.
I was going to say the same thing. Victor, you're doing good. Doing awesome. It's good to have you too, sir. And you, Alex, for walking around the room.
Pacing back and circles, forth.
Basically pacing. Of making me a little nervous, actually, now that I've noticed. Don't. Oh, okay. He's actually right, doing favors for the show.
No, he's doing me a huge favor. I need to be able to look at myself throughout the entire show.
The audio listeners are loving this moment. Hello, friends.
he's hitting me over the head with a baseball bat. No, that's not true. It's not true.
I am being raptured at present.
How are you guys doing? How's it going?
Star Wars this week.
Yeah.
Star Wars. I had no idea. I got Star Wars represented on my shirt.
Yeah.
I got a wreath hanging in the behind me now. So we're all ready. It's the most wonderful time of year, my friends.
Star Wars and Christmas. What could be better than this?
Pretty much. That's kind of the
and
new
Hanukkah
holiday, right?
For our Jewish friends.
That's right.
Hey, I got to tell you, talking about Star Wars is a great little tease for later in the show. Yep. So if you like Star Wars, you're going to want to keep on listening and or watching.
Yeah, we don't even have to like shoehorn it into the show either. It's actually totally applicable.
It's contextually relevant.
That's right. That's right. But we've got a lot of droids to talk about before we get there. We're going to talk about Google's temporary, or so it seems, reversal on accessibility restrictions. Ron, you're going to review the Moto X4. We talked about it, but I don't know if we got like an official review on the show of the Moto X4, right?
I did look at the Android 1.1.
Oh, you looked at the Android 1.1. Okay, this is the non-Android 1.1, I believe.
This is the non-Android 1.1. Yes. This is the proper retail model of it.
So, is the retail model.
Excellent.
Yeah, see the pretty little blue box it came in. So there it is.
So pretty. We're also going to take a look at something called the Royal Moon Virtual Mobile
We're
Theater.
We're going to talk about the upcoming wedding?
No.
Oh, shucks.
Unless that's
the
something
royal wedding
that you can watch on the Royal Moon Virtual Mobile Theater.
I mean, I would love... Can you imagine the royal wedding in VR?
It would be pretty cool. Actually, it would be really cool on this device. We'll
really
talk
relevant.
About that. Google's new experimental phone apps, of which there are
two
that I've played around with. I'm sure you guys have two. Pixel's AR stickers, which may or may not have something to
do
with the movie that's releasing this weekend. You don't? Oh,
no,
we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. And a whole lot more. This is what we call giving ammo to Victor because it's time for the news.
I'm not one to throw away a Star Wars reference, so this is the news you're looking for.
Very nice. Once you got there. That's okay. We're working on it. Victor's coming along. Flo, you got the first story.
Well, as we teased in the intro, we do... By the way, Jason just turned his entire body to me, and it's actually really kind of
disturbing.
A little much for me right now. You don't normally do that.
Just giving you my full attention.
Wow. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Well, you're probably going to want to pay attention to this if you were one of the many who were part of the public outcry for when Google actually decided last month to crack down on those apps that were using accessibility APIs, but maybe weren't exactly apps meant for accessibility. So it appears Google is reversing its decision just somewhat temporarily. Right now, it's going to be, quote-unquote, pausing for 30 days while it analyzes the many ways that developers are using these accessibility APIs to do the, quote-unquote, cool things.
Yeah, I think they do some pretty cool things.
Yes.
I think that was kind of what
and
the
that actually wasn't
was
in quotes,
about.
By the way. I just wanted to add that for effect. Google's going to be asking devs to include a disclosure to describe what it is that it uses that API for. Think of this a little bit akin to when Google started introducing very individual permissions, and developers were sort of talking about, like, this is why we want access to your contacts. That sort of transparency they want to offer. Google writes, if you believe your app uses the accessibility API for a responsible, innovative purpose that isn't related to accessibility, please respond to this email and tell us more about how your app benefits users. Ron Amadio from Ars Technica pointed out that this API has survived like this since Android 2.0, and the world hasn't crumbled yet. So, you know, I think at this point, it's just a matter of disclosing what it is that APIs are being used for. I think that's completely fair. Mm-hmm. I think it's great to have that transparency. That's what Google's really trying to push towards, really wants to be the people's operating system. Bless you, Victor. I felt like I really had to bless you because I heard that, and sorry. Let's not distract from the news at hand. What do you think, Jason?
I see both sides of this, I guess, because I mean, when we talked about this news, it makes a whole lot of sense to me that Google would want to make sure that an API that's set up for accessibility features be used for its intended purposes. At the same time, developers have done some really cool things with that in some ways have kind of evolved to define, you know, be one of many on a large list of things that define why Android is different from some other mobile operating systems, right? It does things a little bit differently. Some of these APIs allow for you to do things like overlay, you know, stuff on top of other apps, and that, you know, can be both a good and a bad thing. It can allow for really neat, you know, like the floating bubbles and other kind of neat user interface interactions. It can also allow for, you know, people to like keylog and stuff. So there are reasons for both sides. I think what Google is admitting here is kind of what we were conflicted on. And I think a lot of developers and everyone that, you know, saw this news a month ago was conflicted on, which is like, yeah, I get it. But it's really hard to say, yeah, all that cool stuff you used to be able to do that's actually maybe not by the books, but still very neat and still very useful. Like, it's hard to say goodbye to that entirely. So maybe Google's just kind of opening the door to see what they can do to salvage that.
And I'm not surprised. I mean, like in any creation of a system, you're going to put something out there, you're going to set some parameters around it. People are going to push and try to, you know, figure out how to get every possible, you know, execution done within those parameters. And then you need to look and assess and then either, you know, expand or contract, right? Like this is what evolution is, right? So it makes sense for Google to take a look at this and rethink it and talk to developers and get a dialogue going before, you know, and then enacting the next generation, right? So I think it's smart. So, yeah.
Let's see here. Cousin Ojah in chat is pointing out probably the most important thing, though.
I was going to ask the question. I didn't want to slow the roll on the accessibility discussion, but
I think we got where it needed to go with accessibility. We Fair forgot enough. To do the Oreo thing again.
We need to put it in.
Hold
the
on,
doc, Jason.
Yeah, hold on. Template Oreo tasting. That's all that ever needed to happen. Now it's in there going forward. Tonight's talk is actually really different.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
Which is why we do want to bring some attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Very excited for this.
I got a letter, by the way. Let me make sure there's there is an address on there. So let me not show you the letter.
Ooh.
But I will show you the limited edition.
The limited edition is pink. It is outlined
look
in pink.
Look at that.
And it says strawberry.
So, now, hang on. This doesn't look like an American domestic Oreo packaging. This looks like an international packaging.
It's a little different, isn't it?
It is.
Friend of the show even writes it on the letter, by the way, right there down at the bottom. Friend of the show, Scott Spillers from Auburn, Washington, writes, enclosed is a package of strawberry cheesecake Oreos that we found while on vacation. My wife, Laura, and I took a wonderful transatlantic cruise from Barcelona, Spain, to Cape Canaveral, Florida in November, our last port of call before crossing the the Atlantic was the city of Ponta Delgado in São Miguel Island in the Azores, Portugal. I spotted these in a small...
Azores.
Yeah, okay, Azores. Thank you. Yeah. I knew I was going to pronounce one part of those many words
wrong. I like that you went for it, like Azores, right?
But it's Azores. He says, I spotted these in a small grocery store there, and I couldn't resist picking these up for you and the gang at All About Android.
Thank you for thinking of us on your vacation. That's very nice.
Things you think about us on your vacation, and you send us stuff. you're a friend of the show.
You send us treats.
For our audio listeners, the packaging is your standard blue Oreo coloring.
Oh, I smell
but
that.
In a cylinder.
It's like a
kind
tube.
Of style.
It's like it's a little more British. Packaging.
Yeah, it's European. And it's got a splash of pink, as Flo mentioned. And it looks like the cream filling is pink.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I opened that package. And the scent of strawberry smacked me across the face.
Ooh, you guys, these really smell like strawberry.
Yes.
They smell like Yan Yans. You know those...
All right. Strawberry cheesecake. Let's see what the results are here. They have bitten in. They're chewing away from Mike.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see this. It looks they're smiling. I think Jason and Flo are smiling. Jason is nodding as he chews. Flo is pensively chewing as she thinks about this. This is compelling radio, folks. Oh, the humanity.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure on this one. This is a hard one. There's a certain synthetic quality to it that kind of...
Guys.
At first, it tasted maybe okay, and then it got really synthetic-y.
This is my combo at Menchie's.
I don't know what
it is. It's strawberry. Menchie's is a frozen yogurt chain, and my combo is strawberry frozen yogurt and Oreo crumbles on top.
Whoa!
This is basically my Menchie's.
This is made for you.
Froyo.
That's
combo.
Different. Okay, so but
because
so then
I feel
been,
bad. I want to eat something with fruit in it.
So then you're accustomed to this flavor profile.
Yeah, and
what
so
do you
when
think?
I ate it, I was just like, I really want to go to Menchie's after this.
Oh, okay.
And have frozen yogurt.
So
dinner.
It works for you.
Let's get a vote here. Let's get a rating.
I'm going to give it an 8 because it reminds me of my frozen yogurt concoction.
I can't quite go there. I'm somewhere around the 6.
Well, and the chocolate is very, very, it is very pronounced. Yeah. In this particular formula.
Well, do you think, the balance between the Oreo chocolate and the synthetic strawberry cheesecake?
Well, there's more chocolate than there is strawberry.
You're selling it, Ron.
You're welcome.
It tastes like... I don't think the strawberry is that bad.
I don't know. I just don't think the flavors gel very well.
That's fine. I'll take yours home then.
Burke likes it. He's giving it a thumbs up. So we'll definitely have some eaters here.
Yes, but I think, Burke, isn't your favorite cake strawberry shortcake?
How do you know that?
That's very personal information.
I feel like...
Listen, all I got to say is the less I know about Burke, the better. I want it to be a mystery.
The more you discover about Burke, the less you realize you actually want to know about Burke.
Sorry, Burke. I want Burke to remain a mystery to me. Who knows where he's coming
from? All right, then
from.
I will uncover the truths about Burke.
Okay. That could be a title, The Truth About Burke. Okay.
The Truth About Burke.
All right. More news. If you hate that segment, you can come back now. We are done
eating.
Please come back. So we don't really keep a total, these days on Android distribution numbers. It's just kind of, we've fallen out of the habit of this, I think, at some point. At least I know for myself, and usually I'm the one putting the rundown together. Well, I just kind of got tired of the constant, so what do we think about the numbers? And it was always kind of the same.
Well, yeah, I think the numbers were more, not predictable, but repeatable in that we saw the same patterns from, I want to say, 5 to 6 to 7 is when we really dropped off at the beginning of Nuga, right?
Mm-hmm.
So has anything changed? Anything different?
Well, so friend of the show, Wyan Witwam from Extreme Tech.
Ryan.
Did I say Wyan?
Yes, you did.
Sorry, I had strawberry cheesecake mouth.
I wanted to catch you on it because it was great. I'm sorry.
My friend of the show, Wyan Witwam.
Huawei.
Who works for Huawei. No, he doesn't. He actually works for Extreme Tech. He points out that Oreo's 0.5% of devices is actually better than Nougat was at this point last year. And that all new Oreo devices actually, as we know, have treble support baked in. So in theory, this should mean, or so we hope, that as more devices end up launching with Oreo or transferring over to Oreo, and given that the manufacturers decide to trebleize their devices, because some of them are not. OnePlus has not, for example. That Treble should make these updates easier, and we should hope faster. So I guess that means that as we move into this era of Oreo, the Oreo era, maybe that will mean that there is something to talk about with the distribution numbers. Maybe they'll be faster.
You think so?
I don't know. What do you think?
I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical too. I feel like they say this every new version.
Yeah, I'm just there with you, Ron. I'm like, how many times have we said this on the show?
It's true.
Same brain flow. Same brain.
Totally true. We also say with every version, oh, they've made improvements to the battery. Maybe we'll notice. Well, you know, that always
Honey,
happens.
Do you know how many times I charge my Pixel 2 on a daily basis? And I work from home. I work from home and I have to charge my Pixel by like 1 p.m.? I do play a lot of Animal Crossing throughout the day.
Well, that'll do it. Okay.
I will say in the battery wars, I've been running every day on the Google Pixel 1. Right, a slightly used Google Pixel 1, and I leave the house with a full charge, and I get home with about 15% left with no charging through the day.
Yep.
Okay.
So
I'm barely hanging
on. Okay. Barely hanging on, but hanging on.
They're always just kind of hanging on by that point, or at this stage of the game.
Which is why we carry batteries.
I mean, Treble is different, though, right?
It is.
Like, it's a different, and it's a fundamental change to Android that is required if you're launching a device with Oreo. So technically, that should mean that it makes things easier. I guess the question is, are the manufacturers as dedicated to the update, which is the other kind of requirement there, is intention to actually update the devices. If they don't care, then maybe that's not the problem. Maybe it's not a reason that's the problem. It's just that they don't care.
So I have a question.
Yes.
This is slightly related. Have we been reading about how the fashion Android Wear watches are getting Oreo like really quickly?
We planned on that later, but we haven't.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Uh-oh.
It's okay.
We'll get to it later.
We'll get to it later. It's a tease. It's a tease.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tease. We'll get to it later, and then I'll ask my question then.
Okay, bottle that question.
Just wait on my question.
Hold on to that question.
Shall we do the email first?
Let's
do the email.
All right. So we got an email from All About Android listener Daniel wrote in and said, I have some slight beef with you guys, especially Ron. Bring it, Daniel. Bring it. Daniel says, there is a certain phone manufacturer that you guys constantly discount, brush off, or completely leave out of the conversation. I'm talking about Sony, specifically the Sony Xperia XZ Premium, which at around $550, and updated to Oreo with very light OS skinning, is one of the most capable phones in the price range all around. With a 4K HDR screen, Snapdragon 835, and the 920 frames per second super slow-mo, it was a beast when it launched at 850, yet you guys gave it all of 10 seconds on the show. Meanwhile, you spent half the show featuring whatever new race to the bottom phone ZTE, Huawei, or Xiaomi decide to drop that week, most of which aren't even available in the US or even 4G LTE compatible. Ron scoffs every time that Sony phones get mentioned, which, by the way, I want you guys to gut check after I read this, because I don't know if I scoff every time they're mentioned, but let's go on. He always balks at the design being boring, but let's take a look at two phones that Ron has either owned or is excited about, the Nexbit Robin and the Razer phone. Both of these phones graduated summa cum laude from the Sony design school. Seriously, the silhouettes of these three phones are indistinguishable, bezels and all. I know this email's running long, so I'll sum it up by giving you guys the humble request that you revisit a much cheaper Xperia XZ Premium, a phone that a year and a half after release can still hang with or beat the iPhone X and Note 8 in every category. Love you guys, even you, Ron, Daniel. All right, so a couple of point-to-point things. One, Daniel, I challenge the assertion that I scoff every time we bring up Sony. I don't think I scoff. That said, you do have a point that we barely ever talk about it. We touch upon it when they announce them. But here's the thing, and Daniel, I'm going to be honest with you, and Flo and Jason, check with me if you disagree, if you're wrong. I literally, in all of my days of talking about Android phones, have never seen anyone with a Sony phone in the wild.
Ding, 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 ding.
Outside of
media circles, I've never seen a person on transit with a Sony phone. I've seen plenty of LG and Samsung. I've even seen lots of OnePluses. Granted, I live in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. But I have never seen a Sony phone out in the wild. Also, it's worth noting that a lot of these Sony phones sometimes come not in their full capacity to
right,
the U.S.
Right, that is very worth
They don't
noting.
Have fingerprint scanners. They don't maybe have the same, like, the latest software. They don't even have a carrier to back them. Sure. We do cover Huawei and Xiaomi. They're very important to the industry. A lot of what they do overseas, I feel, very much drives what we're seeing here in the United States. I don't know that Sony does a lot that's really driving the industry right now. Perhaps it's a very like loaded claim, but yeah, I just sort of feel like that's trying. I mean, the truth of the matter is, it's very hard to get people to read about Sony phones when you write about them, because people just aren't that interested in them after all.
In the U.S.
But
here's the thing. Sony is an enormous company, bigger than Samsung, who is an enormous company, with a very diverse product line of spread out across electronics, across the spectrum. Hell, I literally just bought a Sony Blu-ray player yesterday.
And like, they make the camera components in our phones.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, but the thing is, when it comes to phones, no one ever is like, you know what phone I want? I think I want a Sony. Like, it just hasn't broken through. And you're right, the specs for this phone sound great. It sounds really interesting, especially at $550. I don't even know where to get one.
Right.
You know,
it's a good question. Yeah, it's a good point.
And that's the thing, Daniel. Yeah, like, you're not wrong about it being interesting, or maybe we should talk about it more or whatever. But I just Googled the one that you saw. Oh, yeah, there it goes. For sale at Best Buy. My bad. So maybe I'll go by Best Buy in the Flatiron District and check it out tomorrow.
I mean, I'd be curious to know how many Sony phones Best Buy is actually selling. I just don't think Sony doesn't resonate in the U.S. I feel like it's been the same story for years with Sony phones. You know, we talked about these phones for a long time on this show. We bring them up when there's a new Sony phone to be released, whatever. But it just doesn't stick in the brains of people here in the U.S. You know, for whatever reason, like it or not, and their features are worthy of you and really check the box for a lot of people. But it just doesn't stay top of mind. For myself included, like I kind of, it's like it comes in, I talk about it. Oh, that would be neat. Maybe I see it in person and I move on. I don't know why I don't have that draw to Sony.
Now, I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm willing to play with it. If I can get my hands on one, I'll give it a fair shot. This is a valid complaint, and I'm willing in 2018 to address it. Mm-hmm. If you guys are as well too. It might be hard, but I will commit to it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I feel that way about any Android device. I mean, and that's part of the reason why we're bringing on more devices that maybe aren't accessible or available in the U.S. Because we also know that a lot of people that follow this show aren't U.S. We are, so it's really easy to pin down our kind of focus on this show to be just the things that matter to U.S. customers. We're trying to kind of open that up. That's why you see a lot of those other brands too.
Don't have as much access. I mean, you don't really have access to Xiaomi phones.
Yeah.
Don't like Sony. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. But I think overall, it's just that Sony doesn't really move the needle on the Android market at present. And I think that's why we've kind of.
Yeah. Someone flashed by in the chat room that made the point that, like, is it that the U.S. doesn't care about Sony, or that Sony doesn't care about the U.S. based on, how they're marketing based on the features that are not present? And I realize the whole fingerprint thing has something to do with a legal patent sort of thing. But it's really hard to get excited about a phone that doesn't have a feature that literally every other, premium smartphone in the U.S. has. It's weird that a phone of that caliber would not have a fingerprint reader. And there might be reasons behind that. But the fact that it's not there makes it
means
less
it's not a priority.
Desirable.
It's not a market that's priority.
Yeah, exactly. It hasn't been made a priority as a market.
I mean,
One other correction to Daniel's email is that he says that I was excited for the Nextbit Robin, which is true, and the Razer phone. I don't think I was that excited for the Razer phone, guys.
No, Essential phone you were that excited for.
Essential phone I was. That's fair. Maybe he thought of that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do an ad. Let's do an ad.
All right. Let's do that. And I will do it. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by our sponsor, Tracker. We're all looking for something. Maybe we're looking for love or for purpose in life, unforgettable experiences. You know what you're looking for. It's your keys. Let's be honest. You're looking for your keys. 8 years ago, Tracker changed everything when they released their first tracking device. And now they've done it again with the all new Tracker Pixel. With Tracker Pixel, you'll never worry about losing your things again. You lose your keys, doesn't matter. You can track them. Tracker Pixel is the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market. You place Tracker Pixel on whatever you tend to lose, be it your keys, your wallets, your remotes. It's small enough to fit on your smallest items. That's why they call it the Pixel. When you misplace an item that has a Tracker Pixel attached, you go to your Tracker app on your smartphone, you press a button, and a 90 decibel alert will help you find it in seconds. It even has powerful LED lights, so if it happened to have been left in the dark, you can find it. If you lose your phone, you just press the button on the Tracker Pixel, and your phone will then ring, and it doesn't matter if you happen to leave it on silent or not, it's going to ring for you. And you can even locate your item if it happens to be left miles away. Every Tracker user is part of the largest crowd locate network in the world. So everybody's kind of working for you. If they cross your item, part of that network, you'll be notified. And Tracker's 30-day money-back guarantee means you truly have nothing to lose. Tracker makes a great gift. This is a perfect time for giving Tracker during the holiday season. You can actually save right now 20% off your order when you go to thetracker.com/AAA. That's thetracker.com/AAA for 20% off. thetracker.com/AAA. And we thank Tracker for their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT network. All right. We've got some interesting hardware to talk about. So let's do that. What do you think? The non-Android One Moto X4.
So I've been similar to the, you know, but this could be Sony in 2018, 2017. I feel like Motorola and I have really met in the middle, and I've gotten to know these phones pretty well. Uh-huh. And I got my hands on the Moto X4, the non-Android One version. And for those who, you know, we've mentioned it on the show when it was announced, and Flo, you got to play with it with the Android One version. But the Moto X4 is the mid-range offering from Motorola. Remember, they swapped the X and the Zs a couple of years or so ago. So the Moto X4 is running a Snapdragon 630 chip, and it's a 5.2-inch 1080p display. It's got a 3,000 milliamp battery, dual rear-facing 12-megapixel and 8-megapixel cameras. It's got that little dial on the back that looks like the way the camera lenses are. It's got an 8-megapixel front-facing camera. It does not have Moto Mod support, so this is not an expandable device. It does although have Moto Alexa, which is Motorola's version of Amazon Alexa. Oh, sorry, I said it. The A word, Amazon's virtual assistant. But it's also got Google Assistant in there. And it's got intelligence built into the camera for recognizing landmarks and things like that. Fun, cool camera stuff. And it's got IP68 water resistance. But best of all is the price tag. No, they're two best of all. The first best of all is the price tag, $349.99. You can get it for now, $349. And the fact that this phone, quite possibly out of the box, might be one of the closest to stock Android I've seen in a while. Now, admittedly, it is running the Motorola kind of UI, and it's got that Motorola round clock when you open it up and all that sort of stuff. And it's got some Motorola-related apps. But, you know, the Essential really seemed like the only phone that was cleaner than this phone. And the Essential barely had anything on it. That's not a Google Pixel Nexus type phone, right? Mm-hmm. There is just the bare bones of what you need for this phone on this phone software wise. And that's a great thing because it's basically out of the box, a great Android phone. Playing with it, I'm really, really impressed with the build. It's got that shiny back and it does get a little smudgy, but it's not too bad. But even holding it, it feels almost even more evolved and a better design than even the Moto Z2 Force, which I used extensively for about 2 months. Admittedly, $349 price tag, you're going to suffer a little bit on the battery side. We talked earlier about battery life. Of course, you know, with a 3000 milliamp battery, it's a little smaller than what we would want. And the battery does drain pretty quickly. But for someone not looking for a flagship phone, for anyone looking for that middle of the road $300 to $350 price tag, which I feel like is a category that needs to have solid phones, I would wholeheartedly recommend this phone. I'm very impressed by this phone. So yeah, Moto X4. There you go. And thumbs up.
The price, $349.99. That's actually because of a holiday sale, I just realized. So
yeah,
normally it's $399.99. That's $50 off until December 24th.
But even then, $399 is a great price for, is a great price for a phone. You know, some of the camera gimmick stuff, I don't really buy into the gimmicky stuff, like the recognizing landmarks and some of the other stuff on there. But the camera, the little dual lens, 12 megapixel, 8 megapixel camera on the back, looks like the quarter on the back of the phone. Mm-hmm. You really want to rub your finger on it to be a fingerprint scanner, and it is not a fingerprint scanner, so don't rub your finger on it because you'll smudge the lenses. But I got used to the design real quickly. The little bulge didn't really bother me after a while, and it took good pictures. You know, like admittedly, I didn't play with, you know, I didn't go really, really deep in some of the, you know, the focus shifting and some of the other stuff on there because I'm not a big, you know, photography guy. No matter how hard I try, I just take awful pictures. But I got to say, like, if I had a teenager or if I had someone in my family who wasn't a super techie person who just needed a phone that would work, this is the phone I would hand them now. I think this is a great mid-range phone.
That ring around the camera just makes me want to, like, turn
it. Twist it? Yeah, yes. I agree. Yeah. Same.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but I want to do that.
But some of the other things, it's got USB-C, but it also has a headphone jack. Right. So all you headphone jack people out there, you can still use your headphones. But most of all, what I was just impressed is just how clean it comes. I mean, it's running, you know, Google, the Google launcher is on its stock. So I swipe right and I get the all the Google information there. It's not heavily overloaded with Moto stuff. There's literally, I can count maybe 3 apps on here that are like Motorola branded, and all the rest is just stock Android, which is great. So, I was really, really impressed by it. Really nice phone. So, there you go.
Nice.
Also available at Best Buy.
Yes.
So. You find all the Sonys and Motorola Moto X4s at Best Buy.
Right next to each other.
That's, or so we've learned today. Awesome. Excellent. Thank you for the review, Ron.
No problem. Moto. I was glad I got to play with it. I feel like this middle, like, flagships are great, but $800 for a phone is a lot of money.
Yeah, it really is. Really is. Yeah. I've got something that's running Android that's very different from, I think, anything we've shown on this show. You're going to take... Oh, sorry. I have to get this Oreo off the top of the box.
By the way, the smell is still emanating of strawberry. Just like...
it's everywhere.
Synthetic.
Okay, this may look like a VR headset.
And...
It is not.
But...
It's not.
It is not. It is something called the Moon 3D Virtual Mobile Theater. This is not VR, though it is running Android. It does not take your phone. It actually comes with its own little thing.
Oh, it's brown.
Is this one of those things? It's like basically like a screen?
Yes. That's exactly what it is. Deep. It's like a personal movie theater.
These are cool.
And it comes with... this, which is running, I believe it's called Moon OS. So this is, by the way, I highly recommend, and we don't need to do it on this show because it's just awkward and weird, but it's worth going onto YouTube and looking up the promotional videos for this product. It's definitely like, it's a sight to behold. It kind of gives Samsung a run for its money on awkward promotional videos. Anyways, USB-C under here. You've also got micro USB and micro HDMI, so you can feed video into here. But this has, I believe, 32 gigs of storage on it. And you plug that into there, you power it up. And when you put this on, I mean, it's impossible for me to show you what it looks like when you're looking through it, but I can show you what I look like when I'm wearing it.
Are you comfortable?
Sure. Yeah.
And we've lost Jason. He's been sucked into the dimension.
I'm on the moon right now. So it's running a modified version. And like I said, you can't see it, but it's running a modified version of Android. I don't know what version number, but it really doesn't matter. But it's capable of watching 3D movies and 2D movies. And basically what it does is it puts you inside of a virtual theater. So it's like you're sitting in darkness and you see the theater. You want to put it on and see what I mean? And what's interesting about it is the resolution is so high. Like you look through headsets like this, and I'm used to in smartphone VR and whatever. Now this side is a touch pad. So go ahead and tap and it'll start Spider-Man in 3D.
Wait, which side? This side?
Your right side. And did it cue it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's capable of 3D. So it's like you're at a theater watching a 3D movie, but the resolution was like really, it's really Nice. Oh, wow. I think, what did they say?
I completely lost you there. I didn't hear a thing you were saying.
3,000 pixels per inch when you're watching through this thing. So, I mean, it looks super sharp. The headphones.
It is really sharp, by the way. It looks just like when you're at the IMAX theater.
Yeah.
And you can't really see the people in front of you because you're all sitting elevated and it looks like just a theater in front of you. Yeah. And then when you put the headphones on, it's just completely noise canceling.
Yeah. It's noise canceling. So if you took these on the airplane, if you took this on an airplane with you, you'd have to get over the fact that you're wearing these on an airplane. But it's like you'd have your own personal movie theater. Kind of interesting. This is a whole category that I've just not spent any time with other than taking a look at this. And
but the thing is, we are going to see people on airplanes. Like we already have people on airplanes more and more watching movies.
I don't know. Have you seen anyone on an airplane with a Daydream or an Oculus or any VR thing in public?
I'm not in public. I just know of a person who has done this on the flight and has told me that this is how they watch Netflix. Yeah.
Friend of a friend?
A friend, yeah. Oh, this is actually specifically Russell Hawley from VR Heads.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Of all people, that makes sense. Yeah.
That makes sense. I should also point out that when I first got these, I was playing around with them and I was wearing my glasses and I went to put them on. And the way they're designed, you can't wear your glasses with them if you take a look at the product shot, Victor. The overhead. They don't have enough room for glasses, but that's because you're supposed to take your glasses off and you can actually change the focal distance so that even with your glasses off, the image is sharp because the picture is so close to your eyes that you can bring it all into focus with these little knobs right here. So are you ready to guess the price of the Royale Moon Virtual Mobile Theater?
And once you say the price, I'll tell you the rating on Amazon. Go ahead.
Oh, wait, hang on. I don't know the price. Let me guess. I'm going to guess $12.99.
Oh, wow. You $12.99 or
$1,299?
$1,299. Okay, you overshot it. Yeah. I thought you were going to undershoot it.
Sorry, the price is wrong. You do not win the Buick.
I was going to say $6.99.
Oh, that would have been way closer. Very close. $799.
All right.
$800.
$800.
You could buy one of the latest generation VR headsets for that price. You could buy two of them if you use the Oculus sale on right now.
Yeah. I mean,
but that guy looks so cool, like walking around with it.
He looks so
really
cool.
He does. Yeah. I'm telling you, check out the promotional videos. You will not
And
be
by the way, the rating on Amazon is 3.5 stars. Which makes me wonder.
If you're okay locking yourself away inside of a virtual theater, I mean, it does what it promises. It actually, when I went to put it on, I was like, yeah, how good is it actually going to look? And I will say, I was very impressed with how sharp it is. No, not the look of it on my face. Oh. I know it looks ridiculous.
You can walk outside the house with it. You can't see anything in front of you.
I'll just show you this picture on the side of the box, which cracks me up every time I see it. Because it just reminds me of the Time magazine cover about VR? What was it, a couple of years
ago? Yes, it's only for blonde men. That's who it's for.
Anyways,
how do you pronounce that? It's royal. It's not royale. It's royal.
Royal.
Can I have a royal with cheese?
Exactly. Oh, but see, I would watch Pulp Fiction in this. Anyways, so there you go. Little
video,
something different.
By the way, that video is horrifying. By the way. that we're rolling for our audio listeners. It's their promotional video, and it's showing how immersive these headsets are. And it was a woman in a movie theater watching a war movie, and then all of a sudden, the soldiers in front of her and the popcorn blows up.
Whoa! Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah.
Very intense.
Anyways, if you got $800 waiting to burn a hole in your pocket,
you could do so much better. Please donate it to an animal shelter. Like, this is ridiculous.
Wow.
You're not going to be able to watch a movie at an animal shelter.
No, but if you adopt an animal, you can watch a movie with the animal, and it's like way better. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I would agree because I'm an animal fan.
Admittedly, I hate these things. I think these. I mean, they just showed a shot of a family, and the kid is wearing the headset in the back seat, and the parents are in the front seat, and that's what I mean. Like, I'm not a parent, but like, that's the kind of stuff that drives me crazy. Like, that is like, just talk to your kid.
I can't believe I have to go from point A to point B without being entertained. Right.
Listen, right. I used to put a blanket over my head in the back seat and just watch videos on my laptop. On road trips. So
this is, I mean, you know,
teenagers do not want to talk to their parents. I'm not talking to my parents.
That's true. In some cases, as a parent, you could ask your kid all the questions in the world. They're still not going to talk to you.
They're not going to talk to you. But you guys, honestly, if you want to do this at home, a $60 headset from the Daydream headset or a headset from Amazon third party.
It's not going to look the same. Like, there is a distinct difference between the quality of video that you get in this versus
$800.
I know. I'm not one to spend $800 on this sort of thing.
No.
But just getting a $60 Daydream is not the same thing.
Fine.
It's very
different.
Fine.
You're right. But Bleak just posted in the chat room exactly what I was referring to, the Bobo VR.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the which I brought on anyway.
Yeah. And how much is the Bobo VR?
$60 on Amazon.
$60.
Or on AliExpress.
Yeah.
I guess we can move on to something that's not as ridiculous.
Well, you could get two of these for the price of one of those.
You absolutely can. I don't know if you guys have been reading the internet this week, but apparently the Google Home Max is now for sale. It's for sale at the official Google store, at Walmart, at Best Buy, and at Verizon, all places where people do a lot of device shopping. These Google Home Max speakers have dual 4.5 woofers. They've got 0.7-inch tweeters. They are loud, they are proud, and they all use Google Assistant. So that means you can do all the same things that you can do with the regular Google Home or Google Home Mini. In addition to, you will have, I forgot the name, but the surround sound that essentially adapts to the room that you're in. It uses different microphones to sort of pinpoint the acoustics in the room that you're in to make the music sound better, which I am very looking forward to checking out. Of course, that functionality will net you $400. But Google does promise that it's 20 times more powerful of a sound than the original Google Home. So that extra 107, well, actually, it's a little bit more now. It's 200 something, $220 extra now. $230, because now the Google Home is 79? Yeah, $220. The Google Home is $80 now on sale for Christmas.
On sale, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't think it's that bad, the Google Home, but the Google Home Max, I mean, it's supposed to be for like cool kids who like don't have room for like a stereo system, or like cool bachelors and bachelorettes who like don't have room for a stereo system.
It's like a Sonos.
It's the Sonos competitor. That's what it is. Yeah. I mean, I know you're trying to play it up like the Diplo video that they showed when they announced it, but yeah.
Well, they did.
Yeah. It's the Sonos. It's that whatever that Sonos box is.
It's
that
the
they
Play
sell
One,
that,
I believe, is what it's called.
Which has Amazon,
which
built
sells
in.
Like gangbusters. So right. I don't blame them for going after this. But
and Apple has theirs coming out at some point. Yep. The HomePod.
It's not here. So it's
a category.
Irrelevant. It doesn't exist.
It's a category.
Well, the HomePod is going to be a disaster. Anyway.
Also, just for you Google Home Mini owners, which I think includes me and Ron. Now I finally got my free Google Home Mini from the Pixel 2.
Nice.
Purchase.
What room did you put it in?
I actually haven't set it up yet because I've got a third-party speaker, and I was going to put it in the bedroom. But
does that mean that every room will have an
assistant? No. Only two rooms do. Oh,
okay.
Only two. I got lipstick on the mic. Sorry, everyone, into it. Only two in the house. Also, the Google Home Mini has an update that brings back the tap touch functionality that was previously removed when, remember, we heard that the fabrics were making it so that it was always on and listening to everything you were saying, which is, of course, creepy when you're like me and you're a person who puts it in their bedroom.
Not good.
Not good. So also, now you can long press the side instead to play pause music and calls silence alarms versus the top, which you used to be able to do. This will not initiate a voice input, though, so don't try and do that.
Yeah.
Because it won't
work
that
way. Don't you try and do that.
I added an extra link to the dock, actually, Victor, if you don't mind. It's right there underneath the update, but I found this very fun bit going around the internet.
This is very cool.
how to put your own head. You know, there's no auxiliary port in on the Google Home Mini, so why not install your own like this guy did?
What did he put?
So actually, if you scroll down, Victor,
pot of boiling water.
Yes. So it shows basically, I mean, it's a lot. You can go watch the video yourself. It's all the Android blogs have covered it. But basically it's how to remove the base and essentially unearth the jack that you need to connect this little Home Mini to an external stereo system.
I watched this video, and what we just saw for our audio listeners, to open up the Google Home Mini, you need to put it in a double boiler.
Yes.
And just the idea of putting electronics in a pot and then putting that in another pot of boiling water on the stove, like that's when I stopped it. I'm like, I can't watch this. Nope.
Hurts your soul.
Man. Yeah. But it also goes to show just how tiny that speaker is.
Yeah.
That it's kind of actually pretty amazing that speaker puts out the sound it does.
Again, it's $30 for Christmas.
I'm impressed.
It's only $30. Google really wants you to buy one.
Yeah.
Comes in three colors.
I think it's great.
And there's a headphone jack you can apparently unearth if you're feeling brave and want to toss it into a double boiler, which is also, by the way, how you melt chocolate.
Oh, yes. Chocolate and Google Home Mini.
There you go.
They're basically the same.
So that's your Google Home Mini. That's your Google Home updates for the week.
All right.
And well, we're not done with Google updates, though, because our next story is about how if you have a Raspberry Pi and a camera, Google now lets you get in on the little AI side with their Google AI Y product projects initiative, artificial intelligence yourself. It's the AIY Vision Kit, and it's a cardboard shell, an AI circuit board, arcade button that lights up, a little speaker, a lens kit with a macro and wide setting, and a tripod mounting nut. It has three TensorFlow neural network models on board, image recognition, facial expression recognition, and detection of people, dogs, and cats. And you could basically use this, you could build this and use it to do things like get notified when your dog comes into the room or know when a car leaves the driveway, just kind of awareness kind of things. You can pre-order this via Micro Center for $45. And unfortunately, it's not available until after the holidays. It's going to be available starting December 31st. But if you are a modder, if you are a maker, if you play with Raspberry Pi and you want to get in on AI, you know, kind of camera detection stuff, this is a very low cost way to get involved with it. And Google's AI kit is, it seems to be pretty fun. Like if I had more than 5 minutes spare time, I would totally play with this stuff.
But so is this basically Google Clips, the DIY version?
It kind of is.
Yeah, it seems like it. It's almost like cardboard, but for AI,
it's
right?
It's way cheaper too.
Yeah.
I love that Google has carved out its little cardboard niche. We make cool things out of cardboard that you didn't think were possible.
I mean, honestly, come on, it's recyclable, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's cool.
By the way, I got on the waiting list for the Google Clips. I added myself.
Nice.
Just as an aside to everyone.
Curious to know when that's actually released.
Because I decided after experiencing motion photos, I want more. I want more.
All right. I want more.
Where the people are.
And with that wonderful tune, it's time for the other type of hardware, if you happen to have that ready, Victor. The wearable one.
Where's the hardware?
It's okay if you don't. We'll prep that for next time. The wearable hardware news, we actually teased this earlier, that basically that Google...
Because I had a question, but you can do it first.
Oh, okay. Well, I will announce it, and then we'll get to the questions. We'll take questions from the audience and from other hosts. Google officially released Wear based on Oreo a few days ago. Customizable vibration strength, touch lock option, more country and language support, just a couple of the features. I think that's pretty much the main features. There's a big list of watches that are compatible now or soon to be compatible, although a few omitted from that list that you probably want to know about: the Zen Watch 2, 3, the Guatcher, which we haven't heard in a while. The Guatcher, the LG Urbane LTE, Moto 360, both Moto 360s, as well as the Sport, the Huawei Watch. Those are all unsupported. So those are some big name wearables that aren't getting this update. What was your question?
My question is, I'm wondering if this is all related to treble, because I was, as I was reading, scarcely reading Twitter this morning, I just came across a couple of threads about how interesting it is that the fashion brands are getting Oreo and the sort of this really big push to get Android Wear into a mainstream space that's like, it's an accessory space, basically. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, these brands don't have giant IT teams or have you software development teams that are making sure this is all, you know, that means it's, there's got to be some resources that Google's putting aside for this sort of thing to ensure that these watches are getting updated, that they are staying relevant, that they're on the latest software, that people see their $500 investments, because that's how much these things cost. They cost between $300 and $500 for the fashion ones. So I'm wondering if it's, it has anything to do with that.
That's a really good question. I wish we could go back in time to our panel question and answer panel at Google I.O. and ask Dave Burke, what about trouble on Android Wear? Because that's a really great question. I don't know how that translates over. I mean, if it's running Oreo, that would imply that it's probably being troubleized. Although there are some devices that are being upgraded in the smartphone space, upgraded to Oreo yet are not being troubleized. So that's not an assumption that you can absolutely make that they would all be
very
that.
True.
But I don't see why that wouldn't apply. I don't know.
That was just from my skimming this morning.
I haven't really read anything about that mentions the kind of the relationship between Android Wear and Project Trouble.
Well, I'd be curious. So maybe, hey, Google, next year.
You just said
that.
Oh, my gosh. I just ruined everybody's life.
That was insidious.
That was completely not intentional. I just want everybody to understand. I was literally talking to Google. Perhaps the friend of the show, Google. Hiroshi Lockheimer, will.
Yes, friend of the show, Hiroshi. Let us know. What's going on?
We have some questions.
I mean, it's a valid question, right? Because this was also what I was kind of thinking. It's kind of in line with what I was thinking earlier, which is just the idea that Android Wear really offers no customizability for the hardware manufacturers that are implementing it. So one would argue that that would be even more of a reason for it to always stay updated. Yet it takes a while for these updates to hit some of these watches. You kind of run into the same, hate to say the word, fragmentation, you know, questions about how these devices stay updated and which ones get upgraded and all that kind of stuff. You'd think that that wouldn't be an issue if there isn't a whole lot of customization going on with the software. I guess there's differentiation with the hardware, but that would be where Trouble would come in and isolate the OS away from kind of the vendor altered or optimized hardware underneath.
I'm going to look into this.
Yes, do.
I'm going to talk to some of these fashion brands and see who's doing their software. Who's doing your software? By the way, really love the gingham that you used in last year's patterns. And by the way, also, who's doing your software updates?
Yes, Michael Kors, I have a question for you.
I have a question
who
for you.
Who does your software updates?
I understand that A-lines are going out of style for spring 2018, but who does your software updates?
This is the question we want to know. Audience.
Jeez.
All right, Ron, we got an ad.
Yes, we want to thank WordPress for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, we know that building something new or something that others connect with is a lot easier when you have the right tools. And that's why we're so excited to have WordPress.com as a sponsor. Listen, I use WordPress every day for years, and there's a reason why. Because whether you're looking to create a personal blog, a business site, or both, creating your website on WordPress.com helps others find you, remember you, and connect with you. You don't need experience. You don't need to hire someone. WordPress.com guides you through the entire process from start to finish. They take care of the technical side, so it's easy to get your site up and running. They have hundreds of beautiful designs to choose from. You get built-in search engine optimization and social sharing. And they've got a great business plan that lets you access hundreds of plugins and themes. And the reason why I love WordPress so much is because they give me confidence that I can make a website that will actually connect with people and help me achieve what I'm trying to do, whether it's a podcast website or a content website or a business website or a photography, you know, kind of portfolio or a blog. Every time WordPress has the solutions that help you do it. And what's great is you're not alone. Their customer service team is made up of WordPress experts eager to help you to get the most out of your site. They're available to help 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and weekends too. Because listen, most of the time I work on my websites is on the weekends, and sometimes you need a hand on Sunday and they're there, and it's amazing. And these plans, these business plans start at just $4 per month, totally affordable. So come see why 29% of all websites run on WordPress. And yes, you heard that correctly. 29% of all websites run on WordPress. That's just crazy. WordPress.com is the solution that you need. So get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase. Go to WordPress.com/allaboutandroid to create your website and find the plan that's right for you. That's WordPress.com/allaboutandroid and get 15% off your brand new website. And we thank WordPress for their support and give me that confidence to do my business on the web. Thank you, WordPress.
Thank you, WordPress. Ooh. All right. We have enough news in the apps category to have an apps segment.
How exciting.
I know. This never happens. Let's do it. And it's cool stuff, and it's Google stuff.
You know, I was very... So I actually didn't... I'm going to talk to you guys about the new app experiments, and I actually didn't download any of these apps, so I haven't played with them at all, but...
I did. You talk about them. I can show them.
But Jason just did while I was reading that ad.
Yes.
That was fun.
I was running around the studio.
I was really praying that you would not trip. I was really praying for that. But yeah, so today, actually, Google released a few new photography apps in the Play Store. They are called, quote-unquote, Appsperiments. So the first one is called Storyboard. This automatically turns video. By the way, just want to add the update on the strawberry filling. My mouth is very, like, it's salivating a lot. It's, like, I've been
swallowing
need another
one?
A lot. I'm trying to get the tang out of my mouth.
Yes.
By the way, Flo, that's the chemical reaction.
Yeah.
Is that what's happening?
Strawberry. Yeah,
So that was the update on that cookie. All right. So first one, Storyboard, which automatically turns video into an image comic layout. I feel like this is something that actually Ron would really enjoy playing with.
Would I?
Yeah, you know.
I'm sorry.
You're a comic book guy.
I'm bundling you into a binder.
I hate these apps, but that's fine.
So it's similar to what Prisma did for images, but this kind of does it for video, and it does.
All right. So I recorded. I ran through here. And as Flo said, thankfully, I did not trip. I think I got all of the characters of this show in. That didn't work out very well. But
wow.
You pull down and it pulls different kind of.
Oh, I like that.
Arrangements, different parts of the video, turns it into a comic book. This is like a comic of all the motion that doesn't involve people. This one actually has people. And it's a little weird. It's all AI. Oh, that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
Anyways, it goes through. I don't know if it's actually making any sort of smart determinations as far as what it's putting where. It feels very random. But anyways, you kind of cycle through until you get something cool. I'm waiting for it to get one that has all of us in it. And it's not working. Well, there's Ron.
I'm thinking that the machine learning behind this is a lot more intricate than we are seeing.
Probably.
It's a lot more intricate. So that's the first one. That one's called Storyboard. You can go grab that from the Play Store right now if you'd like. It's
we're
free.
All in that one.
Save it.
Okay, so you tap it and then you save
it. Save it.
Save.
There we go. The next one is called Selfissimo with an exclamation at the end. It's an automated selfie photography app with black and white photos when you pose. Did you try this one out?
Let's see here. Well, yeah, so this one's a little strange only because I did. So, okay, you open it up.
Selfissimo. Really? So then, that's the font they used? I think you're supposed to be dramatic. Okay.
All right. So then I tap anywhere to send, and then there's all of my selfies. It's like a photo booth sort of thing, kind of. I don't know. But, I mean, the quality of my selfie, it's all black and white. Yes, oh, that's my favorite. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
The third one is for iOS only, and now I wonder if we should even mention it at all, because who cares? Just kidding. It's called Scrubbies. It's in the iTunes App Store if you're looking for it, which I think now it's called the Apple App Store. Sorry. This one lets you create looping videos by swiping on a recorded video to fast forward and rewind through them. It's kind of similar to scratching a record on a turntable. I guess, think of it as another version of Boomerang at this
point.
Yeah,
it's very Boomerang-y, that's for sure.
I guess Google figured that one would be more interesting to the iPhone demographic and that we'd be more interested in the comic storyboard.
Yeah, who knows why they choose.
I know.
Bless you.
Bless you. That sneezes on the show.
I'm allergic to iOS. Can we not talk about this app
you're
anymore?
Right, you're right. yeah, so app experiments, exploring the potentials of mobile photography.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's cool because if anything we've learned from years of doing the show, people love camera apps. They love doing wacky stuff like that, you know, and app experiments as a word sounds a lot better than it looks written. So what are you going to do about that? But I like that this is very Microsoft garagey. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, hey, let's do this thing and whatever. Cool. You know, I like it.
The thing is, and we're, you know, Jason and I are a little spoiled, but they definitely, you will see like bits and pieces of this kind of at Google I/O, because what they'll do is they'll put these sort of like photo taking demos into little experiment tents and kind of let you try them out. And it seems like, oh, this is so fun. Like, you know, I'm taking pictures with like my friends, but like you're actually experiencing what people are working on like in an office building every week, and that makes a lot of stuff that's happening in the future possible. I mean, I imagine a lot of this stuff could be carried over and used in Google Photos, which is all about the magic happening behind the scenes when you're not even thinking about it.
Yeah, what it leads to.
So
I mean, it reminds me of the Android experiments, which is different. I don't know why this wouldn't fall into that category. Probably because it's done internally. It's not done by third-party developers, which Android experiments seems to be.
Well, I think, it might also have to do with like the code that's the APIs that are used and such, okay. I would imagine, at least how it's categorized. But regardless, it's fun. And I think we forget that this stuff exists on the internet, that this fun stuff does actually exist. So
yeah, I like the experimental stuff. It's cool.
Yeah.
There's something else that's not quite experimental, though, Ron.
Well, So I actually told the show earlier on the, I think it was on the pre-show, but I'll tell it again. So I woke up in the middle of the night last night, and I looked at my phone, and I saw that overnight an app had been installed or updated. I got the little Google Play notification, and I looked at it, and it said AR stickers has been installed. And I was like, what? And I went back to sleep. And then this morning I was standing on the subway platform on the way to work. And I was like, oh yeah, I saw that notification. What is that? So I look at my app draw, and sure enough, there's nothing called AR stickers there. I was like, what? And then I vaguely remembered the demo from Google I/O. So I opened up my camera app and tapped the menu. And sure enough, what do I see? AR stickers are now available in the camera app on my Google Pixel. Installed overnight, and basically what this allowed you to do was to insert a little AR thing into your screen, your camera screen, and it launched with Star Wars characters in addition to Stranger Things, which is what they showed in the demo on at Google I/O. And what you do is when you open up the camera, you've got to kind of move your phone in a circle to calibrate the room. And then you drag one of these little AR sticker guys from the top of the screen, and you place them and you size them. And then as you move your camera around, they are there as if they are existing in the real world. Now, those of you who are watching see Jason doing this with BB-8, which is very cool.
Yeah, it's staying in one place. It's weird.
What's weird, and that's cool because like BB-8 on the table is neat. But Victor, if you could pull up the video that I shot this morning on the subway platform in New York City. I showed this to somebody at work, and they seriously like did a double take because they didn't quite believe. They're like, there was a stormtrooper in the subway?
Like, Ron, is that what that aloe was about? I totally thought that was a person you ran into New York, because I'm like, oh, it's New York. Of course somebody was dressed as a stormtrooper.
play it again, Victor. It's too short. I wish I'd done it too long. But like, you can kind of see it here, but looking on the phone or looking at whatever, you could he's a little short to be a stormtrooper, but he's
there. That's true. It's true.
Yeah. But like, it looks like he's there, and that's just freaky.
I totally didn't realize. Wow, you fooled me. I didn't realize that was AR at all.
No, that was AR. Yeah.
Man.
So funny.
Well, so. I don't have it yet.
So that happened.
Move along.
Move along.
And you can resize them and everything. I mean, within It's hard. It's hard for me to show any of this like with a lockdown camera because it's all there.
Who needs friends
anymore? I will be honest. It was a lot of fun. I was showing my wife after dinner tonight, and I showed her the Star Wars stuff, and our living room was filled with R2-D2 and BB-8 and the little broccoli guy that works out. You know those Google food stickers that they have. So it is a lot of fun to play with.
The little broccoli guy has his own AR.
Yeah, he's in there.
So you could just take him to the gym with you.
Yep.
There we go. Stormtrooper on our desk. We've had dinosaurs on this desk. We've had stormtroopers on this desk now.
We've had Oreos.
It's pretty cool.
The Oreos are, in fact, real. Sometimes
lingering behind.
Yes, lingering. Sometimes you wish they would go away, but they don't.
That's the chemicals, by the way. Just to remind you.
It's also just the fact that this package is still like here open, like emanating to me throughout the course of this show and to you as well. I'm sorry. But we appreciate you sending them in.
Because I'm going to eat more after the show.
Yeah, it's probably not going to keep flow away. We have an email from Romy Church who sent in an email to say, I just discovered your show, AAA, and really like it. Like many, I picked up a new smartphone on Cyber Monday, Google Pixel XL, not the new Pixel 2. I know you probably get this every week, sorry, but can you tell me why I need or don't need an antivirus or malware protection for my new phone? Which one? Why are there so many conflicting answers to this question? If you can't answer directly, can you just point me to some online resources? I think we can answer at least somewhat directly on this. Is that, well, first of all, I would start with a question. Where do you get your apps from? If you're getting them from the Google Play Store, you probably have very little to worry about. If you're getting them in other places, there are other third-party app stores that are legitimate.
Amazon, for one.
Amazon is a great example. But there are other places that you can get apps that are, let's say, less legitimate or entirely illegitimate, like piracy and that sort of stuff.
Dr. Sandy's Hut for Apps. Don't get apps from there. .ru
or something like that.
Oh, definitely don't get apps from there.
And so you want to be very, first of all, you want to be very careful and ensure that you're getting apps from legitimate sources that you trust. Google Play Store is a place that you can trust. Why? Because they have a feature, something called Google Play Protect. They actually actively scan the device. They scan the apps that are listed on the Play Store, the data on your device from known insecurities. Now, that's kind of the tricky part there is known insecurities. There will always be new things that happen that haven't been detected or fingerprinted, let's say, in the security software ways
like
to
germs.
Be detected. Yes, just like germs. Once they are, though, they kind of enter that database and they can be scanned, caught, and you will be notified in your device. It'll say this app is, you know, whatever. It'll warn you about it. That's part of Google
Play
Protect.
And it'll tell you the last time it's scanned.
Yep. And you can go in there and you can scan again. It's part of the Play Store. It's also, you can find it in security settings for protecting your apps and turn that on or turn it off. But I just leave it on. Chrome also automatically recognizes known malware when you visit a site, and it'll warn you against that. It'll give you a big red screen that says, don't go here. And you can go around that. But you have to jump through a few tapping hoops in order to do that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like their way of saying, okay, we told you not to do that, but you're doing it anyways here. And then security patches, of course, Android, those address bigger issues. The crack vulnerability from a few months ago is one of those examples where when something like that happens, Google can then put out a security patch and usually does pretty darn quickly with the Pixel devices. It's one of the reasons that we recommend Google's devices because they're usually the fastest.
Take a while.
Yes, they do. Yeah. So there's that. I mean, antivirus apps, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, like they're not entirely useless, but I would say that if you're being pretty responsible with how you're using your device, you probably don't need them, but some people feel comfortable with them.
Yeah,
it's interesting because like I don't have one on my phone, and I never do because I only get apps from the Google Play Store, and I'm not that whatever. But the Motorola X2 Force I played with came with Lookout security and antivirus installed, And I'll be honest, when I woke up and saw that little lookout icon and a notification saying, scanned all your apps and you're fine. And like, or every time I installed an app, it ran a scan. I kind of felt a little safer, to be honest with you. So you might want to look at check out Lookout, which is a pretty reputable app. And, you know, and it's pretty good in terms of that. And maybe it gives you that little bit of extra security, even though with Android, we're lucky that you don't totally need it. But God forbid some sort of exploit or something happens that emerges on the scene. Something like this, an app that is designed towards mobile security, might be in a better position to protect you than somebody like me who's got nothing. You know what I mean? Like, with, you know, with stage fright and things like that, you never know what might happen. So,
yeah.
They don't really bog down your, they don't bog down your, this is not McAfee level Windows XP here.
They can, well, depending on what you're using, though, they can definitely make using your phone a lot less convenient feeling.
It'll be fine on the Pixel. Well, a lot of Lookout often comes preloaded on a lot of like the new flagships when you get them through.
Yep.
Carrier, and I just found that like on a flagship level, which is essentially what you're using here, it's fine. So
yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can get in there and kind of tweak it too. If I had Lookout running on my phone, as I have in some of the phones that I tested, I feel like it can be very vocal about what it's doing. You're constantly getting notified about the fact that I checked these apps and you're fine. I did this and you're fine. You're fine.
Validate me.
I get annoyed by that because, as you know, I use my notifications as a to-do list, which maybe that's my New Year's resolution.
You just
don't have time
to validate apps.
Yes, like I don't care. Okay, great. Tell me when something bad happens. Don't tell me when good things happen. You know what I mean?
It wants to be seen.
I know.
And appreciated.
It wants me to know that it's there.
Does.
I'm sure there's ways though to go into Lookout and like turn that off. Like don't notify me on these
things.
Don't
need to tell me everything all the time. This is a hands-off relationship.
It's okay.
You go do your thing, I do my thing. We meet each other together for dinner every night, and we go on with our lives. We share finances and that's it.
So there you go. And I'm sure there are really bad antivirus software programs too that, you know, aren't as responsible as Lookout. So just, I don't know, just be responsible. I hate to say that,
practice,
but I think.
Safe Androiding.
Yes.
Safe apping.
Safe apping.
Safe apping.
Don't be app curious. Sorry.
Oh, no, we're going there again.
This is an evening show. What can we do?
Speaking of app curious, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Arena.
I didn't set up the poll. I will do that. I will have time to do that. But looking at last week's poll.
Yes.
Let's see here. Let me do that. Let me look at it.
We're down to the wire. I don't even know how to like feel.
What?
We really are.
What the font?
What the font?
Ron's app.
At least I was two.
Oh.
One with 45% of the votes. Screen recorder second place.
Oh my gosh, look 37%. Look at the scoreboard.
Don't wait, Flo. Wait, let me get through it.
AliExpress shopping third place. That was mine, 12%. And Shooty, I'm convinced it's Should I, but he knows the developer.
Yeah, it's Should I. I think it's Should I. Yeah.
6% of the vote.
So what got Flo so excited was that Wade County in the chat room posted the standings. And unfortunately, Jason, Victor, I don't know if you got a sad trombone queued up or anything, but Jason, you've been eliminated. You've been mathematically eliminated from winning this year. I'm sorry.
Whatever.
So the guests were eliminated first a few weeks ago. They've got 113 points. Jason's got 121 points, and now he could be spoiler. Flo and I are tied for first with 135 points. Let me tell you, folks, this makes it a nail biter because
I know because
we've got tonight
week of the show.
And next week, and I got to be honest with you, as we talked about, there's a very popular guest coming next week who's got a nice reputation of winning arenas on her own. So
True. It
could come down to tonight, folks. It could come down to tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Who
is insane. We weren't expecting it to get here. Expecting that this would happen when we made.
This is the closest race I think we've had ever. I mean, we need to go back and look at the stats and everything, but I really think this is the closest we've ever had.
Well, if I was going to lose to somebody, I wouldn't want to lose. I couldn't lose to nicer people.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. So I'm happy to lose to you both.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason, for everything you do for this show every day, every Tuesday.
That's what I was waiting for.
Every doc you've ever made.
You're welcome. And for losing the arena. So I'm losing. Ron, you're winning. I move you to third. I still need to install your app. That's probably a good idea for me to do that now. And while that's installing, I will then show you my app. I'm buying time if you haven't noticed. No, you know what? I'll do the install thing during Flo's app. Okay.
Yeah, do that during Flo's. Yeah,
all right. So my app that I'm going to show off comes with a little bit of an upfront disclaimer. Grammarly is a sponsor on the Twit Network. They're not a sponsor on All About Android at this point, but they are on the Twit Network. And I will be completely honest, I never used Grammarly before them being a sponsor. And the more I use it, the more I swear by it. And I say this outside of any sort of any sponsorship, whatever. Straight up. As an app, I'm really enjoying using it. They released a new keyboard called Grammarly Keyboard, and it's a keyboard replacement. We haven't had a whole lot of those in the arena, you know, in quite a while, so I'm trying to find a way to pull it up here. So here you are. Here's Grammarly Keyboard, and I think I will admit that it has a way to go. It's still early days, so you don't have things that personally I feel are necessary for me, like swipe. It doesn't do the swipe, and I would hope that at some point there would be an update to include that. I don't use it 100% of the time, but sometimes I do. I'm actually, now that I think about it, trying to figure out, like, why do I sometimes decide to tap and sometimes to tap decide to swipe? I don't know. But anyways, there you go. So it's a basically it's a tapping keyboard. But what I like about Grammarly is its entire purpose. It also doesn't have like a predictive text or that sort of thing. But its entire purpose is to correct your grammar. I mean, that's what it's all about. And, you know, now that I think about it, I wish I had come up with a string to write out that it could correct, and I would know that it would be bad. I would know. Oh, is it even going to work up there? Probably not, because it's a URL bar. No, we're just seeing all the weird Google autocompletes. Let's not do that. Hold on. Let me go into a keep thing and I can show it off here. Here we go. Okay. I would know that Mr. Burns. Oh, no. You know what I'll do? I'll go Mr. Burns. And what it will do is it will search. Let's see here. Did I correct it? I think I corrected
it. Yeah. Full disclosure, I use Grammarly like every single day.
It's auto correcting is what it must be doing. But not entire. I'm having a really hard time coming up with a sentence to demonstrate.
Write something with bad grammar.
How do you write something with bad grammar? I can't. It's impossible. My grammar is perfect. I'm having a hard time coming up with something that's bad grammar. Someone in chat room, help me. Dang it. It's a good thing I lost this.
How about there is...
There.
There is a fox... There are a fox and a hound.
Oh,
there are a fox and a hound.
Thank you. That's good.
I had to mess up
and
some English in my brain.
Hound. There, I know. It's so hard to do this, I'm realizing. There are a fox and a hound. And it gave me a correction. Why is it not correcting it? It's so weird. It was earlier. It's like it popped up the thing.
So it's worth noting, Grammarly doesn't work with Google on the browser, so I wonder if it's not working with Keep. I wonder if it doesn't have access.
There we go.
Oh, it's working. Okay. There you go.
I had this when I was doing emails and text messages. I don't know why it's being all weird in Keep. But basically what it does is it's a keyboard that corrects for your grammar. That's kind of what Grammarly is all about. And so it will... but it's not doing the right one. Anyways... Normally, when I'm not using Keep, apparently, it will give me the proper grammar checking, and it does work.
I use it for my work. I use it to copy edit, to help me copy edit, especially now.
I'm just
sad
because I used it all morning, and I was like, this is really cool. This is what I need to correct my grammar, but it's just not working with Keep, and I don't want to reveal all my emails and stuff, so I'm not going to show it to you. It's early days for Grammarly Keyboard. obviously. But it's worth checking out if you want to, you know, correct your grammar using a replacement keyboard. I feel like there are ways that it could improve over time. Getting the swipe functionality in there would be a big plus for me because it's hard for me to not have that. But I know that when I'm not trying to come up with bad grammar live on a show, I end up in a lot of situations where my grammar is actually not very good. Like, I don't put a space between my time and PM or AM. And so it will give me that correction. I tap it before I send, and it works really well. And it's just nice to have an integrated keyboard to do that. So I know. I go like 2:30 AM with no space in between. And it corrects me on that every time. Maybe one of these days I'll learn. Anyways, it's Grammarly keyboard. Check it out. Why don't you? And I have a feeling you'll have better results with it than I just did. All right, Flo, you are up next. What you got?
Well, let me wipe this screen very quickly.
Please do. Please do.
Now, my app is particularly of interest to those of you at home who may have a lot of connected things, as that is a realm that I have recently embarked on. It's a journey I've embarked on. So over here, over the shoulder, you know, the thing when you get home that really sucks is, oh man, I've got all these different networks of lights and connected things in my house. Let me open up my folder full of apps so I can like control them all, right? That's annoying. I don't want to talk to them each one individually either to try and, you know, get things to work the way they're supposed to be. So what I'd rather do is just fire up an app like Stringify, which essentially lets you put together all of these smart home and IoT apps into one place so you can easily connect to them. You can easily change the colors and the settings on them, and you can even create your own routines of sorts. For instance, I set up a routine under this Flow. Not Flow my name, but Flow, F-L-O. Actually, I'm going to turn on the brightness real quick so that you can actually see what I'm talking about. So Stringify is nice because it's particularly decent if you're new to setting up routines. I have found in my new smart home life that apps like Samsung Connect don't really work the way I like. Sometimes Google Home doesn't offer all the automation that I like. So having the sort of third party that can do it for you in an easier manner than something like, what am I thinking of? I forget the name. Anyway, the nice thing about this is it includes starter flows. So it can help you get started with your IoT devices if you kind of are figuring out this new world of routines. It's a little bit like IFTTT, except that you have a tiny bit more ability to do things like, oh, I can just get a daily weather summary, or, you know, I can walk up, you know, the sun goes down and the lights go on, that sort of thing. And a little easier to understand than IFTTT as well for those who are kind of new to this. I've set up a couple of things, like anytime somebody comes to my Ring doorbell, the LifeX light in my living room will turn on so that there's light when people come to my door after a certain time of day. So after 5 p.m., the lights will come on when you walk up to the house, which is kind of nice, if they're not already on. So I've set that up. Very easy to set up. There is a tab called Things where you can add each of the individual things in your house. So each thing in your house is its own thing. It's a lot easier to schedule things this way, to work with them, because they're all their own individual versus like working within systems and trying to remember like all the names. Because like I'm kind of lazy. I don't really give my bulbs names, which I probably should, but I don't.
It took me a while to name my bulbs too.
So, you know, I've got a LifeX Z strip and that's right here, and I've got a LifeX bulb, and it shows me here that it's indistinguishable, so I know like what is what. And then I know that I have a home network here. I've got Hue lights that are these are all the ones that are indistinguishable. It shows me the symbol of what it is that's being used, and I can easily go in. I hope this connects because of this is a live demo, and we all know how
that goes.
Live demos work, especially when you're not at home.
Yeah.
The thing is, my light isn't on at home, so I'm wondering if this is going to work at all.
Is it switched off at the wall?
Yeah, it's switched off at the wall. I think this is why it doesn't work.
Be able to talk to her.
Let me try my bedroom light and see if that works. Yes, it works. Yay. So I'm going to turn it on. So I just turned on my bedroom light at home. I'm turning up the brightness. You'll see that it's red. That's the light that I went to sleep with last night. So it's red now. And now I'm going to make it aquamarine at home. And now my husband has an aquamarine bedroom to come home to. And if I want, I could switch into the... I've got a color bulb upstairs. Downstairs in my office, I have a regular... Oh, look, now it's working. Downstairs in my office, I have a regular hue light. So this will just show me the different whites that I have access to. You can also set things up by location. And I like that you can use stuff like the Ring doorbell on here because I actually can't set up routines with the Ring doorbell through Google Home, which is a bummer because... There isn't. I can't set up a routine like walking up to the house and having like a light turn on through Google Home. But I can through this because it lets me connect. I'm still playing with this, but I've got all this IoT stuff in my house and I just thought, you know, it'd be a fun thing to set up. And you can add friends if you've got friends who are using. I obviously do not have any. So maybe be my friend by downloading this app. You could be my friend. And you can set up other formulas too outside of IoT. So just if you want notifications to come to your phone the same way IFTTT works. And if you need help, there's also a Discover tab that'll hook you up to other sort of basics that you can figure out. Flows for your family. There you go. Your home. So let your family know that you're home. That kind of thing. So if you're kind of just into the idea of getting started with automation, Stringify. It's free.
Cool. Excellent. That looks cool. Stringify, smart home, and IoT. All right. By the way, I was able to get it to work with IR not good at this.
IR baboon.
If anybody remembers that
cartoon. And it corrects me to I am not. Boom. Am not. There we go. All right. Ron, you are up. I have yours installed.
All right. Fantastic. Earlier in Flo's review, she had to adjust her brightness. And if you're like Flo, if you're like me, if you're like Jason, quite often you find yourself in a scenario where you need to adjust your brightness. And as phones get bigger and bigger, adjusting brightness actually gets more and more annoying. I, for one, hate the auto adjustment because I want some control over it. But having to swipe down in the notification and then move your thumb all the way up, if you've got a big old Pixel 2 XL, it's a long ways to go. Thankfully, I've uncovered Digilux, which is going to solve these problems for you in two ways. One, it gives you a movable slider to adjust your brightness. But what's even more effective and awesome is that it allows you to utilize your fingerprint scanner as a brightness slider. What?
What?
What? Look what Jason's doing. He's sliding his finger over the fingerprint scanner, and that is sliding across the brightness slider. And can you do it a little slower? Yeah, see? So you can, depending on the speed that you slide it, you can adjust your brightness with your fingerprint scanner.
Wow.
Case closed.
That's what Ron got.
That's all I've got, Your Honor. There it is. No, this app is awesome because so basically on the settings, as you can see there, you can adjust the slider so that so in the settings there, the first one is adjust slider step. So you can change every time a little swipe is either 10% per swipe or 20%. If you want to make it 100, just go up and down, whatever percentage you want to do for that. Then the second setting allows you to adjust the slider position. That's where it appears on the screen. So if you slide that, it will move it up and down on the screen. So if you maybe want it to appear higher or lower, I happen to like it look lower down by my little nav buttons on the bottom. So I slide it all the way down there. You can also adjust how long the pop-up, the brightness pop-up stays on the screen. And there it is. And then you can change the colors. You can change the background color and the slider color itself. And there's a whole bunch of other kind of cool settings. But if you scroll down even more, you can adjust the gestures. So, for example, if you swipe up on your fingerprint scanner, it will increase the brightness. If you double swipe up, it will do nothing. You can edit that and change it. If you swipe down, it will reduce the brightness. If you swipe left, minimum brightness. Swipe right, maximum brightness. So you have control over the gestures that you can do with your phone. I tried this on my Pixel. It works great. Jason is trying it on his phone there. It works great. I encourage everyone to check it out. It's free in the Google Play Store. Once I started using this, I was like, oh, how did I live without this? This is amazing. So there you go.
Nice.
Digilux.
Excellent. Digilux. All right. So we have three apps for you to vote for. One of them, you're voting for one of them, three to pick from: Grammarly Keyboard, Stringify, or Digilux. Go to twit.to/AAApoll347, twit.to/AAApoll347, and place your vote. We'll check in on it next week. I'm curious, though, what Victor's voting for. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Victor's
surprise.
Very practically minded today's vote.
I'm going to be a little safe on this one.
Victor's a grammar fan.
All right.
Yes.
It's good to be a grammar fan.
Grammar is hard to come by these days.
Well to be a grammar fan. No, that doesn't work. I'd be corrected to say it's good to be a grammar fan, right? Maybe.
I mean, but if I were like a real grammar stickler, I'd try to encourage you to use... Oh, the nice thing about... Grammarly, just off note, is that on the browser, it's really great as a thesaurus.
Oh, nice.
You just highlight the word and it gives you like 5-6 suggestions. Oh, and then if you're not getting the suggestions you like, it's because the word you're using is kind of limited in scope.
Right on. So twit.to/AAApoll347. And we will check in again. That is it.
That's all we have
for you. We have a fantastic, though, I should say, episode on cue for next week.
It's going to be one for the ages. I'm very excited. It's a good way to go out on the year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's our last live episode of the year.
Everyone come dressed in theme.
Yes.
If you can.
We'll do a little bit of a year in review, I'm sure, a little bit of news. And we, you know, have this guest. You may have heard of her, Gina Trapani.
The one, the only.
Have you? Yeah. You remember her? Like from the time, you know, when she actually did the show on a regular every single week basis. She's coming back. So next week, you do not want to miss it. We're going to have a lot of fun hanging out with Gina and talking Android and rounding out the year.
Is that our Christmas present is Gina?
Yeah, pretty much.
Actually, so that's why she's coming to us to grace
Christmas
us
is
with
early
presents.
For all of us.
It is.
So we're looking forward to that. And well, this is when we talk about stuff we're working on.
Yeah.
What you've been working on, Flo?
I am planning CES right now. I'm actually going to be covering the smart home beat at CES.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to be covering assistants and things with assistants built in and lots of smart home stuff because that's what you see at CES. So I'm kind of laying low right now as I am figuring out my life as it will happen the second week of January. So until then, just kind of follow me at Twitter, on Snapchat, and on Instagram at OThatFlow, without a W at the end. And I am going to have my website updated before the holiday, florenceion.com, to kind of let you know where I've been writing, because some stuff has changed in the last month. I've just been getting my little quack quack ducks in a row.
Nice.
You know, they're scattered around. So now I'm kind of helping them kind of walk in a straight line.
Are you excited for CES?
I'm actually really excited this year because I'm not going... for phones. I'm going for actual stuff they showcase. And like I've already started some like preparations and kind of like nosing around what's coming out. And it's both very intriguing and it's going to be very interesting. And I'm, you know what, maybe I'll put together a little report and kind of let you guys know, especially because there's going to be a lot of Google Assistant stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So that's Google's
not just Google
pushing
Assistant.
That
there's gonna be a lot of assistant,
really
period.
Hard. And even this morning, if you saw Rick Osterloh, I think was hanging out near the Today Show, they were putting the Google Home Mini and be like, you should buy this. They are going hardcore on this. This is how they're going to... This is how they're going to... So I'm curious. We'll see.
Cool.
It'll be exciting.
Excellent. Ron, what's your story?
What's my story, Morning Glory? Just go to twitter.com/RonXO or instagram.com/RonXO. That's where I'm most active these days. I'm just enjoying life. It's the holidays. I got a wreath. Want to see Star Wars in a couple of days?
You also have two Christmas trees. Don't forget.
It's going to be... I do have two Christmas trees. You can't see them in the shop, but one is over there. One is outside. We had a lovely holiday party this past weekend. It's just good. We're just enjoying the season. So easing into the holidays, taking it easy, getting ready for 2018. So
right
that's about
on.
It.
Yeah. Victor, thank you as always. Appreciate all your help as always, especially because I've been compiling all the best of clips. And as it is every year for this show, it's a lot of clips. I apologize.
So we're bringing Victor an Oreo cake next week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Now I have to get Victor. An Oreo cake.
Nice. Sounds good.
he's writing it into his calendar right now.
Let me put that in my Google Keep. Yes, hold on. Exactly. I'm typing that in my Google Keep right now.
Don't want to forget this. You can find what I'm up to. Well, I mean, basically what I'm up to right now is the Yellow Gold Kickstarter. This is the last week. It ends on Saturday. It's a nail biter. It's not quite funded yet at this point. I have faith. I have hope, but I'm very nervous. So go to yellowgoldmusic.com/Kickstarter. Oh, it's gone up a little bit. And if you want to pitch in on this, it's super close. It's probably about 78, almost 80% of the way there at this point. So it's so close that it would be a real bummer if it didn't fund. But hey, that's how Kickstarter works, and I'm fine either way. But if you want to get in on it, yellowgoldmusic.com/Kickstarter. You'll be one of the first
3 days
to receive
ago,
the album.
Y'all. Come on. We can do this. We can see this. It's only 6,000. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
We only got 200 left.
Yeah.
Listen, you've enjoyed this show for years, everyone, for free. Jason makes great music. There's nobody better in the world than Jason. Honestly, just as a person.
I agree.
I chipped in for this Kickstarter. Same. You could do it too. Let's mobilize the All About Android community and let's make this album happen.
The way you help Ron and I fight each other in the arena every single week, Jason to put his album out, which by the way is way better than anything that Taylor Swift is going to put out this year. Let's be real.
Agreed.
Let's be real.
I could say that with the utmost certainty. I don't know if I could live up to that, but I appreciate you saying that.
You know what?
That's all that needs to be said.
Exactly. I'm sticking with it.
Anyways,
I believe.
We will be back once again next week. So if you have questions for us, all four of us, leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email or a video mail at AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Android Show. We have a subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Doesn't get a whole lot of action these days. I check in on it and not a whole lot there. But if you want to participate by sending links there, they can make it into the show. I certainly check it. Every app from every episode listed at twit.to/Android apps. If you want to get filled in on what we've talked about, you can find our show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye-bye.